So the question is that are words translatable, some words not translatable?
Yes.
And so firstly, every translation is an interpretation. Every translation. Because it is not just about spiritual concepts. It is in any language. If, whether it is, say, for example, in Western in Western intellectual history, there are the Germanic saga, the Iliad, Odyssey. Now those are written in, say, in Latin, Roman, whichever language they are written in. Now, if we try to understand them, it's every translation, no translation can actually be a precise translation, no matter who does it. So, this applies even to material concepts, even to subjects which are material, what to speak of for subjects that are transcendental. So, now what do we do with this? If the words are not translatable, then words are actually handles for concepts. Concepts are in the mind. Concepts are intellectual, words are verbal. So if I have to carry a suitcase, and sometimes if you're carrying a suitcase and the strap or the handle of the suitcase breaks, then how do you carry it? You pick up the whole thing. It becomes very difficult to carry. But the strap or the handle makes a suitcase easy to carry. So that suitcase is like the concept. And the term that we use is like the handle. So, the handle is not the suitcase. Similarly, the term is not the concept. But the term gives us access to the concept. So now, what happens is, if we say certain words are not translatable at all, then people have no access. It's like, so what Srila Prabhupada's policy was, that even if certain handles are imperfect, sometimes a suitcase breaks, a suitcase handle breaks, then you just strap something, put some sort of rope around it and drag it in. So it's not a precise translation, it's not a very good handle, but it works. So like that, Srila Prabhupada, many of the concepts which were there in the Vedic literature, in the Bhakti tradition, the concepts themselves are very difficult to understand. And if there is, the concepts are unfamiliar and the terms are also unfamiliar, then it becomes like unfamiliarity squared. Unfamiliarity squared, people get scared, what is going on? So, rather than intimidating people with unfamiliar concepts and unfamiliar terms, Prabhupada used familiar terms for unfamiliar concepts. Even if those familiar terms were not precise. And then gradually, Prabhupada would clarify. So for example, Prabhupada translated avatar as incarnation. Now incarnation actually has the root karna. Karna means flesh. So incarnation, the word comes from the Christian tradition where God is supposed to have sent his son and his son is somewhere divine. So Jesus was considered to be an incarnation. So Jesus came in flesh and he was crucified. So now, according to Bhakti philosophy, according to Bhagavad Gita, it's very clear that Krishna does not come in flesh. So Prabhupada used the word incarnation, but then he clarified that Krishna does not come in a material form. So Prabhupada, as a matter of strategy while writing his books, he used familiar handles for unfamiliar concepts, familiar terms. And then he clarified that we should not. He also gave some special clarification to explain what those concepts are and how they have different connotations. So yes, now especially when things are translated into other languages, sometimes the translations, especially in the early days, were not done by devotees. So in vernacular languages, in Hindi or in Marathi, or in any other vernacular language, the translation is not done by devotees, it does create a problem. So initially the mood was that just have the books translated and have the message available. But as our movement is expanding and we are having more and more devotees, they are all now making the translation more and more accurate. So I am not talking about English now, I am talking about other languages. So yes, Patrata is not translated, qualification will be more of patrata, it is not avkar. That is not a precise translation. So, in sort of this, I also had experiences. I used to write articles in newspapers, and I wrote an article on Prabhupada, and then there was one Hindi newspaper person, he liked the article, he wanted to translate it in Hindi. He said, I'll translate it. Then he translated and published it, and he said that, इस तरह से स्वामी प्रभुपाद पंच महाभूत में लीन हो गए.
So when you're talking about the disappearance of Prabhupada,
I read Prabhupada disappeared. So now he did not, I don't know what he did, he translated disappeared as पंच महाभूत में लीन हो गए.
So I told you, you cannot translate like this. Then, so, because then for them disappearance means what, somebody is there and he disappears.
Like magic act, so they don't understand. So that's why the translation has to be done properly. So if there are some issues like this, if you find the translation inappropriate, you can contact the, here you can contact our Hindi BTG department, or you can contact the BBT you can get a letter for correspondence also. They will gratefully appreciate that and they will modify those translations if they are required. But in general, this brings us to an important point, that the books are to be understood in the context of the living tradition. You know, if we try to understand a book separated from the living tradition, we will not be able to understand it. That's why Prabhupada said the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. So, if there are some misunderstandings which come because of the unfamiliar concepts or the imprecise translations, then when we are also connected with the living tradition, then those misconceptions can be clarified and rectified. Does it answer your question? Thank you.